Hey there, it's Tony here. Welcome to the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Today we're talking about Dumb Leader number one, the micromanager. Stay tuned, you're sure to learn. Hey there, it's Tony here. Welcome to episode 105 of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Now, the Dumb Leaders Podcast is linked back to dumbleaders.com, where we've got the Dumb Leaders Handbook. And at the Dumb Leaders Handbook, we dissect the mistakes of the dumb. We dive into the depths of the dumb, dissect the mistakes so that you are able to become a better leader because of that. Now, the Dumb Leaders Handbook is all about 50 to 60 different types of dumb leaders that I've seen and experienced and what I've done myself through the course of my leadership career. And dumb leader number one is what we are going to dissect today. Now, dumb leader number one is the micromanager. And if it wasn't for the micromanager, this project would never have got up, because whole concept around the Dumb Leaders Handbook started one night when I caught up with an old friend of mine who was a national executive, and I asked the question about how his new CEO was going, and the new CEO, and it was a turnaround project, and there was a lot of media attention on this particular company at the time. And he said he's got an uncanny knack of hiring great people and then doing their job for them. And we've all worked with someone like that, someone that wants to do our job for us. They micromanage, they dive into the detail, they focus in on the miniature. So micromanager stands proud as the number one, dumb leader number one in the Dumb Leaders Handbook. And what we aim to do today is to go through some of those things, the reasons why people become micromanagers. Then I'm going to share some of the results of what happens with micromanagement. And then the final part of today's podcast is going to be, how do you deal with a micromanager? Because I've got no doubt that if you haven't already, you will come into contact with a micromanager. So why do people become micromanagers? And there's a couple of clear and obvious reasons. One is that they don't trust their team to do the job as well or as effective as what they can. So that's a very obvious reason. And it may be a valid reason if your team is new together or that you have a range of new people within your business. But if you've been working with that team now for quite a period of time, it's not a valid reason. If you lack trust in your team, and that's the reason why you micromanage and oversee so tightly, ultimately that's your fault. But one of the some of the research that we're now starting to see out of behavioral science and observations and, that fantastic tool called leadership surveys, is that many leaders tend to micromanage when they feel powerless. So I want that to sit with you for a bit. When they feel powerless. So when a leader feels powerless, they tend to double down on their micromanagement or their management or their discipline over the team. So if there's a project that they're not quite convinced about, that the team has got the ability to deliver, they're feeling powerless. So they tend to err on the side of micromanaging as opposed to erring on the side of let's take a risk and let's see this get through. The other time that a leader could potentially feel powerless is when they perceive you as in a subordinate role as a threat to themselves. So, and you may see that quite often in career aspects where the subordinate's coming through, they come up against a leader who's been around for a while. Suddenly the leader feels a bit threatened, feels a bit powerless. So the leader starts to, once again, double down on that management process and starts to micromanage. So that's an interesting concept that I really want you to think about. So when a leader feels powerless, they tend to micromanage. Now, the other thing that tends to happen is with leaders is that, you know, there's a control aspect. There's a control aspect that a lot of leaders feel that they need to have. They need to be the person in control. So one of the other reasons why people can and do micromanage is because they fear empowering their team and they fear the empowerment of their colleagues. And sometimes they fear that because of the fear that they have inside themselves, that by empowering their team, that in some way, shape or form, it may make them look bad. So when a leader fears the empowerment of their team, they tend to micromanage. But then the final reason, and this is maybe the more prevalent, is that micromanagement is a power-based process for some leaders. That by micromanaging their team, by managing them tightly, by focusing in on the detail, it keeps the power firmly in the hands of the dumb leader. And often you'll find with leaders like this, like that particular, like the last style that's power-based, they will rarely take subordinates to meetings with them for meetings with more senior leaders. And one of the reasons there is because they want to keep the glory. They want to keep the power base. They want to make sure that they are the center and the focus of attention. So those types of micromanagers, it's all about them. It's all about their power, and it's all about making sure that their team understands that. And they do that by leading tightly, by being autocratic and being a micromanager. So let's just go through those four reasons that we're sharing today. Leaders tend to micromanage when they feel powerless, when they lack trust, when they fear the empowerment of their team, and when it's all about them, when it's a power-based process. So that's why people micromanage. So let's, in our next segment, let's talk about some of the results that happens from micromanagement. We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing. I get knocked down. So now that we've talked about why people become a micromanager, let's talk about the results of what happens with micromanagement. And you may have seen this in teams that you've been in. You may have felt this. But the results of micromanagement really does start with the team. Now, if a micromanager comes into an engaged or an empowered team, for example, it's a really tough job for that team then to continue to be empowered, continued to be engaged. So the first signs that you start to see with someone who's a micromanager is that the team becomes disengaged and disillusioned, disenfranchised. They start to become a little bit aloof around their work and around the passion that they may have had for their work. They become ill-directed because it's constantly one job at a time. It's constantly they lose sight of the big picture. They get ill-directed because it's all about the detail. It's all about the fact that you're not being given enough direction or guidelines or space to be able to do the job to the best of your ability, and it's all about the miniature. The micromanagers tend to have teams that are underdeveloped or non-developed. The teams rely on them heavily in making all the decisions. So therefore, the team is non-developed. So if you're a leader that follows a micromanager, it's usually a hard task for the first couple of months because the team are just not developed. They haven't been developed. They're there to do their job. They're in routine. They're in certainty. They know that every minute detail of their role is going to be analysed and managed. So, of course, they're not going to develop themselves. They're not going to expand their knowledge. They're not going to breed their own self-awareness. Micromanagers tend to discourage others from making decisions. So why make a decision when the manager's going to make them all for you? So you've got a team that's very much hamstrung on the micromanager. And sometimes, you know, if you go to the Dumb Leaders handbook, there's one of our readers' contributions there already. It's called Stuck at Sign-Off, where there's a micromanager who wanted to sign everything off. And what it did, it almost ground this national retail company to a halt. That's the curse of micromanagement. People being led by a micromanager lose loyalty and lose commitment, and they lose, I suppose, so much sense of that. They're there to do a job. They're there, if they're there at all, between 9 and 5. Their mind is just focused on, you know, the humdrum and staying out of the way and not getting into trouble and not raising the ire of the micromanager. And at the end of the day, the team overall loses a sense of the priorities of what it is that they're designed to, what it is that they do. Because everything is focused on the detail. Everything is focused on the micromanager checking in on a regular basis. And having control over that detail. So they lose the sense of priorities. They lose their sense of where they sit in respect of, the company vision or the corporate mission. So there's so many ills that you see from micromanagers. So just going through that, the team becomes disengaged and ill-directed. They certainly don't get developed. There is a dearth of decision-making. They just won't do it because it's been discouraged, because the leader will always make the decisions. The leader will always be the one that's pulling the shots. The team have a absence of loyalty and commitment, and overall the team loses sense of the priorities that they should have in relation to doing their job. That's what a micromanager brings when they join a team. So how do we deal with a micromanager? And that's a really interesting point, because we get asked that quite often in our roles that we have. You know, my manager's a micromanager. How do we deal with that? And one of the first things is you need to be empathetic, which, you know, that may sound a bit counterintuitive because you're ultimately not the one that's causing the issues. Or you may be. So let's listen in here. So we need to be empathetic, and we need to understand the reasons, I guess, why that leader is a micromanager. We need to try and understand them better than what they understand themselves. So it's about getting to know, it's about building that rapport, it's about understanding what's important for that particular manager. It's about understanding what they see as important. And then, of course, it's understanding what then you need to deliver. And by delivering, you then start to build trust. So delivering on what the manager sees as important builds trust for you between that manager. And that's important. So by building trust, you start to show competency. By showing competency, the communication starts to be free, a little bit more free. And of course, your communication upwards needs to be very free. So it's about being proactive in your communication, showing that there is a reason for that trust, that there is a reason that you are competent in the role that you're doing, and pushing that up from a communication aspect. One of the tips that people provide to people being led by a micromanager is to volunteer freely. Now, I'm going to put a caveat on that because I think it's important to be proactive in terms of priorities for your workplace and in terms of what's important, but you don't want to volunteer and take on everything because that's ultimately going to push you into a position where you've got more pressure. And under pressure, some people will find it hard to deliver. And, you know, if you've got too much on your plate, instead of focusing on the priorities, you're going to be focusing on just getting it done. And sometimes when we focus on just getting something done, it's not to the standards that we need them to be. So while it's important to be proactive and to be able to volunteer, my advice is just make sure you're being realistic with that. You don't want to be volunteering and ultimately ending up with the jobs of everyone else in your team, for example, which can and does happen at times. So just be mindful of that, but it is important when you're working under a micromanager. And it's important to be able to be proactive and volunteer and take some of those things that the micromanager is doing and maybe take some of them on board as opposed to taking in work from some of your colleagues. And the final one is a really important one from my aspect is you need to concentrate on what's important for your boss. So, and you also need to be very understanding of the strategy of the business and the mission and the visions of the business because when you understand the vision and the mission behind the business and you can understand what's important for the boss, you can create the link. You can create the link. And that helps you in communicating with the boss. So by concentrating on what's important, you're actually ultimately doing what the boss needs and requires you to be. And that in turn will build things like trust and will build the competency of yourself in the boss's eyes. So there's a couple of key critical things there. So be empathetic, take steps to build trust, be very intentional about that. Make sure you show competency, communicate freely, volunteer to take on maybe some of the manager's tasks and concentrate on what's important. And I think that from a tips point of view, if you can concentrate on that, you're going to go a long way to being able to work effectively with our dumb leader number one, the micromanager. Okay, so just our final little segment of today. So what do you do if you are one? So if you are a micromanager, I hope you've hung around to stay to the end because this is for you. And this is incredibly important. It's if you are a micromanager, there are some very clear things that you have to do. Now, the first one is you must become aware. You must be aware that you are, in fact, leading too closely, managing too tightly, looking over people's shoulders, creating stress and pressure on yourself. Now, they talk about emotional intelligence nowadays. A leader's success is driven by their emotional intelligence. And it is a real important part of what we do now in leadership development. We focus on a leader's mindset. We focus around their emotional intelligence. And stage number one of emotional intelligence is about being self-aware. So the first step, if you are a micromanager or have an inkling that you are, you need to become self-aware and you need to be able to take that opportunity to decide and to review and refresh what it is that you're doing and to make that decision of change. Because otherwise, nothing will ever change. If you're not aware, nothing will change. You must be very clear on what's required for the business and what is the values and the leadership required within the business. Now, that's an important one because I've seen micromanagers work in businesses that that breed an empowered style leadership. And if you're a micromanager, when everyone else is breeding and developing their team, empowering them to be their own boss, for want of another word, you are going to be different and you are going to stand out, and you are not going to stand out for the right reason. So you need to understand what's required and what is the values and the leadership basis or the foundation within the business. Now, of course, if you're coming into a business that breeds, acknowledges and encourages micromanagers, well, go for it, because I certainly wouldn't want to be working there. So you need to be conscious of the ability to delegate correctly. So many people delegate incorrectly or for the wrong reasons, or they'll delegate poorly. So there's a whole process there in understanding how and who and when we delegate, and in allowing that delegation of the work process to be seen as something important and something of a development opportunity for your team. So that's an important aspect of you being able to free up. So a lot of micromanagers stay micromanagers because of the fact that they've attempted to delegate and it didn't work out. You know, the person didn't get the results, or the project didn't finish, or that they had to take it on at the last minute to finish it. There's some of the reasons why people are micromanagers, because they've attempted to delegate and it hasn't worked out. But there's an art form around delegation, and you need to learn that. You need to be very conscious that there is an intention there around delegation. It's not just buck passing the jobs that you don't like, for example. It's about balancing the development opportunities. And there's an old saying that if someone can do the job 80% as good as you, that's probably an opportunity for that job or that role to be delegated. So really, there's a number of great resources out there around delegation, but if you want to be serious about not being a micromanager, you need to delegate correctly. This is a tough one, this next one. You need to allow mistakes, and you need to think back when you're a leader and when you're a first leader, or when you were working with someone and they encouraged you to blossom because of the fact that they encouraged you to make mistakes. Now I'm not talking about mission critical mistakes, you know, because, well, they're mission critical, but we need to allow people to stuff up, because it's when they stuff up that they start to learn how to do things better. And it's exactly what we're doing with the Dumb Leaders Handbook. We're dissecting the mistakes to help people become better leaders, and that's really important. So as a leader, to allow your team to make mistakes and to build their toolkit of failure is an incredibly important thing for you to be doing. So I want you to, and that's a tough one. That's a real tough one for micromanagers to embrace. But I really want you to think about how you can embrace that and how you can make that part of what it is that you do. And just the last thing, trust starts from the top. So if you want to trust your team, the first thing you need to do is be trustworthy. Because when you're trustworthy, your team trusts you. And that starts to build that culture of trust. And trust is the foundation of every great leader. It is. Trust is the foundation of everything great that's in your life. So whether you've got a growing career, a growing business, a beautiful relationship, it's all being built around the concept of trust. So if you want to build trust, it starts from the top. So when you build trust and you're trustworthy, it's an easier and more efficient way for you to be able to build trust within your team. So just going through those again, if you are a micromanager, you must become aware. You must be clear on what's required. You must be able to align to the values and the leadership mission within the company. You must learn the art of delegation. You need to learn to allow mistakes and to build that culture of trust. That starts with you. So you need to be trustworthy. So there you have it. That's dumb leader number one, the micromanager. It's a little bit more of a study process today in our podcast. We'll get back to dissecting some of the stuff that's in the news in the coming weeks. We still have to introduce you to one of our last resident experts in Mark Jones. Really looking forward to having his contribution within the Dumb Leaders Handbook. And if you are interested in becoming one of our resident experts, just make contact with us over at the Dumb Leaders Handbook, which is at dumbleaders.com, and check it out on the contact page. We'd love to hear from you. We also welcome readers' contributions. So if there's a reader out there that's struggling with a dumb leader that they're reporting to, send it through to us. We'll dissect it. We'll provide you some advice. We'll do it as a bit of an article. Your details are all safe with us. We're 100% confidential. It's not about the person. It's about the behaviours. And for our leaders that are learning through the Dumb Leaders Handbook, it's all about our behaviours on how to become a better leader. So that's it in a nutshell. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you check it out over at Dumb Leaders. We added some really great articles during the week. We added Dumb Leader number 5, which was the person that treats everyone the same. Now, if you are a leader and you say, I treat everyone the same, that's probably one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard from leaders. And we have a fantastic article for you to read that can really start to help that process. So this week we will have another reader's contribution going onto the site as well, on top of obviously our Dumb Leaders podcast. So check it out, dumbleaders.com. Make contact with us. Check it out. Go to the Contact Us page at the Dumb Leaders Handbook. We'd love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Tony signing off from the Dumb Leaders Handbook. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.